Welcome to Wisdom Trek with Gramps. Wisdom is the final frontier in gaining true knowledge. Our mission is to create a legacy of wisdom, to seek out discernment and insights, and to boldly grow where few have chosen to grow before. Hello, my friend. This is Gramps. Thanks for coming along on our journey to increase wisdom and create a living legacy. Today is day 1620 of our trek, and it is time for Meditation Monday. Taking time to relax, refocus, and reprioritize our lives is crucial in order to create a living legacy. For you, it may be just a time alone for quiet reflection, or you may utilize some sort of structured meditation practices. In my life, meditation includes reading and reflecting on God's Word and in prayer. It is a time to renew my mind, refocus on what is most important, and making sure that I am nurturing my soul, mind, and body. As you come along with me on our trek each Meditation Monday, it is my hope and prayer that you too will experience a time of reflection and renewing of your mind. We are continuing our series this week on Meditation Monday as we focus on mastering Bible study through a series of brief insights from Hebrew scholar Dr. Michael S. Heiser. Our current insights are focusing on practical tools for Bible study. Today, let's meditate on Bible study, word studies, and distribution. Insight number 77, learn how to do word studies. Some of my earlier Bible study suggestions included learning about the numbering system and concordance and reverse interlinears. Both assist in doing word studies. You need to know how to study biblical words in their original languages properly. Word studies are an essential strategy for penetrating your English translation to gain insights for interpretation. Today I want to go into that concept. Learning how to study the Hebrew and the Greek words behind your English translation is essential for some simple reasons. One is that a wide range of English words in your translation might be translating the exact original language word. There is no one-to-one correspondence between the English word you read and the original language word. Many English Bible readers don't realize this. When they do, it prompts some obvious questions. Why don't translators use the same English word each time the original language word occurs? Shouldn't they be more consistent with their translation? Another reason is the reverse of the above. A wide range of the original language words might get the same English word in their translation. Like English, Hebrew and Greek words have synonyms, words whose meaning are closely related, such as canine, dog, hound, or pooch. There's definite overlap in these terms, but there are also nuanced meanings. So it is with Hebrew and Greek. But you'll never discover Hebrew and Greek synonyms if you can't do the word studies. Synonyms also prompt questions. Why would the biblical writer choose one word over another? Was he trying to communicate something by that choice? Do word studies requires four things. Detecting the original language word behind the English word. Second, finding all occurrences of that word. Third, asking good interpretive questions about how the biblical writers use that word. And fourth, having access to tools that analyze and discuss the meaning of the original language words according to their usage in the Bible. In the following insight, number 78, I'll discuss some requirements for word studies. I'll also talk about how not to study words, logical fallacies in word studies that lead to false conclusions and flawed interpretations. For now, realize that you're at the mercy of translators unless you can get beyond your translation. Word study is the key for doing that. So now let's move on to insight number 78. When studying biblical words, pay attention to the word distribution. Word study involves more than just looking at the original language word in a word study dictionary, which is a lexicon. The usage of a word in context is the most critical consideration. However, there are times when word distribution within either a book or in the writings of a single author ought to influence the way we think about the word meaning. One of the best examples of this consideration is the Greek noun translated unmarried, which the Greek word is agamos. This word occurs four times in the New Testament, every time in the same chapter and therefore all by the same author. The fact that only Paul uses this term four times in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 means that we must allow what Paul writes, and in this case what he doesn't, to inform our understanding of the word meaning. Putting it negatively, it matters not how some author in some other Greek text from some other period says. We have to figure out what Paul thought about the use of this word. On the surface, unmarried seems easy to define. It is the state of being spouseless. That's fair enough, but several different circumstances would put someone in that category. Here are the circumstances that would mean you have no spouse. First, never married. Second, your spouse has died. Third, you're divorced. Or fourth, your spouse has deserted you. The last circumstance is less familiar to us than people, usually women in the ancient world. Scholars agree that Paul's language in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 includes all four circumstances. They disagree, however, on whether Paul would have forbidden remarriage to those who are divorced. The answer to this question depends on whether it seems reasonable or not to presume that Paul included divorce as the circumstances for being spouseless in verses 27 and 28. Is Paul talking only about first-time marriages in those verses, or anyone that is separated from a spouse allowed to remarry? Answering that question is the interpretive task of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. There is nowhere else to look for what this term might include or exclude in any given verse, since it only occurs in this verse. So you now might be getting the understanding of why word study is so important. And let's wrap up for today with our verse from Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. And that is a wrap for today's meditation. Next week we will conclude our series on Mastering Bible Study during our Meditation Monday session, as we take time to reflect on what is most important in creating our living legacy. Thank you for joining me for this trek that we call life, and encourage your friends and family to join us and to come along with us tomorrow for another day of Wisdom Trek, Creating a Legacy. If you'd like to listen to any of the past 1,619 daily treks or read the Wisdom Journals, they are all available at wisdom-trek.com. And I encourage you to subscribe to Wisdom Trek on your favorite podcast player so that each day will be downloaded to you automatically. And thank you so much for allowing me to be your guide, your mentor. But most importantly, I am your friend as I serve you through the Wisdom Trek podcast and journal each day. And as we take this trek of life together, let us always live abundantly, love unconditionally, listen intentionally, learn continuously, lend to others generously, lead with integrity, and leave a living legacy each day. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, reminding you to keep moving forward. Enjoy your journey and create a great day every day. See you tomorrow for more daily wisdom.